I think we've sung that hymn before. We sang it at 13th Street, where I grew up. One word I would have changed: life is offered unto you. I didn't catch that, John. I would have changed that. But the Lord doesn't offer life. He gives life. He creates life. But the message is good. Look. Look and live. Go back to Judges 13 now. Judges 13. This is story of a certain man. I love it when Scriptures talks about certain men and women. Certain man and his wife, chosen by God to hear His voice, see His glory. And that describes most people in this room. You're not here by your own choice. You're not here by your own will. The lot, Scripture says, is cast into the lap. Say, what am I going to do? But it says the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. And so you're not here by your will, by your choice, or by chance. You're here by divine appointment. And how blessed you are. How blessed we are that the Lord has brought us here in spite of ourselves. If left to ourselves, if left to our will and our flesh, we would not be here. We would not. So how blessed we are. Look at verse 2. It says, there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah. I'm just going to call him the man from here on out, and his wife. The man and his wife. And his wife was barren and bare not. A certain man, and Manoah, the man and his wife. Now, her name is not given. That's the reason I'm going to just drop his name. The man and his wife. Her name is not given. She's unknown to us, but the Lord sure knew her. And that's the only important thing. And the Lord knows us, so all else don't. But like the rest of the children of Israel, look at verse 1. The children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. The children of Israel were God's chosen people, but they were sinners, weren't they? And that's us. And they did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines to war against them and to trouble them. And But God must have loved and chose Manoah and his wife because of three things He did for them. And He's done these same three things for many in this room, if not most. How blessed we are. It says in verse 3, the angel of the Lord. Now, we've preached on this several times. And I think it was just a couple of years ago. I didn't even look. I didn't care. I didn't care if it was 2 months ago. Because it was either Dad or Gabe, one, mentioned Manoah in their message. And made me go back and read it. And I was just smitten with it again. So I hope the Lord will bless it again. We need that. The angel of the Lord here in verse 3 that we read about all through this story. The angel means messenger. And I believe, and I'm quite sure, that this is another appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm quite certain of that. Verse 18, it says, the angel of the Lord said to Manoah when he asked him his name, why do you ask thus after my name, seeing it is secret? And the word is wonderful. And if you go to Isaiah 9:6, where it says, call his name wonderful, it's the exact same word, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Call his name wonderful, counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father. Same exact word. My name, he said, is secret. It's wonderful. And then in verse 20, or 19, I'm sorry, when Manoah offered that kid upon the rock, the angel did wondrously. Manoah and his wife looked on. They looked on what the angel did. The messenger did. In verse 20, when the flame went up from the altar, the angel got right into that flame of that lamb that was being burnt as a burnt offering unto the Lord. The angel of the Lord got right in that flame and ascended up to heaven in that flame. Now, no ordinary angel would dare get near that sacrifice. Not Gabriel, not Michael, no angel at all. This had to be the Lord Jesus Christ. And Manoah himself said, "We've seen God. We've seen God." An angel of mercy is who this was, sent to two sinners with a message of mercy and salvation, message of life for a look. We sang that. Look and live. And the Lord spoke to these two certain sinners. He spoke to the woman first. You notice that? He spoke to the woman first. Why did he do that? Because God hath chosen the weak things. A woman is called a weaker vessel. In this case, she certainly wasn't weaker in faith. She was stronger in faith. Nevertheless, the Lord calls the woman the weaker vessel. And God hath chosen the weak things to confound the things that are mighty. And the Lord spoke to this woman. And he said to her in verse 3, "The angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her," first thing, "Behold, now, thou art barren." And this whole story, don't think about the story itself so much as what it represents. All right? This represents the story of salvation. This is what the Lord comes and says to every chosen man and woman that He speaks to. Every certain woman. Every woman that the Lord saves, He comes to and He says this. The first thing He says to them, the angel of the Lord Jesus Christ, He said, "My sheep hear My voice." He comes to every single woman He's chosen and says, "You're barren. You're fruitless. You can't produce anything, can you?" This was not an insult. It's just so. He's not adding insult to injury, is it? She knows she's barren, but he's reminding her, you have nothing, you are nothing, you're empty, you're fruitless, you can't produce anything. You have no life in you, do you? And that's what the Lord, through the preaching of the gospel, first says to every chosen woman. "You're dead in trespass and sin. You don't have life. But you're going to have life. Because I've come to give you life. I've come that you might conceive life." So we're not born of blood or the will of the flesh or the will of man, but born of God. Born of incorruptible seed, the Word of God that liveth and abideth forever. By His Word. She heard the angel of the Lord tell her that she was barren. And our Lord told Nicodemus and tells us, you must be born again. Christ must be formed in you. Christ in you is your hope of glory. And you can't do it. Only God does. But He says, thou shalt conceive. Listen to this. I just tried to quote it to you, but let me quote it to you fully. Peter said this in 1 Peter 1. You're elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what these two people are going to be a part of. This lamb, this kid, this burnt offering. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And He goes on to say, you're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. That's what He came to tell this woman. You're barren, but you're going to have life. You're going to have life. In verse 6, we'll not deal with this Nazarite. That's maybe another message, but about Samson. If you want to hear it, tell me. Maybe we'll look at it. But verse 6, the woman came and told her husband, saying, "A man of God came unto me." Now, she doesn't know that this is the Lord. She doesn't know that it's really an angel of the Lord. Neither did Manoah. But this man who came to them with this wonderful message of life, of hope, in a time of captivity and great sin and misery, this man that came to them with such a wonderful message of hope and deliverance. He talked about a deliverer coming and life will be given them. The woman and the man esteemed this angel, though they thought it was just a man, they esteemed him so highly. They esteem him so highly. Like the disciples on the road to Emmaus. They didn't know that was the Lord. They just thought it was a preacher. But because his message was so wonderful, and they wanted him to stay with them that night, they didn't know it was the Lord. He said, "Stay with us. Will you stay with us?" And I just read in Hebrews 13, says, "Be careful to entertain strangers. Some have entertained angels unaware." Some of you had the privilege to have men in your house, preachers of the gospel, and the Lord calls them angels. Because this is how you hear the gospel. This is how the Lord is pleased to bring the gospel to every chosen sinner. And when you hear the gospel, you're so grateful, aren't you? So grateful. And she ran to her husband and said, "A man came unto me, man of God, came unto me. His countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told me he me his name. Well, he told me what to do. He told me we'd have a child and told me what to do about him." She told her husband. You know, often the Lord speaks to a woman first. And then to her husband. As a matter of fact, in my experience as a member of the church, it's probably, when you say most of the time, it's a woman first. That's just the way it is. The Lord used my wife to bring me to hear the gospel. Right, Tammy? And on it goes. That's most of the time. That's the way it is. Lord often speaks to a woman first who then goes home to tell her husband. Several in here, I believe. Like I said, I'm one of them. The woman at the well. You remember her? The woman at the well. The Lord appeared to her. What did she do? She dropped her water pot. And she ran and told whoever she could find. And then they came and they heard the Lord and they believed. That's the way it is. So here's what I'm trying to tell you ladies. Run home and tell your husband what you hear tonight, okay? I'm serious. I'm very serious. If your husband's not here, I'm very serious. You go tell him what you heard tonight. The Lord may use that. He did with Manoah's wife, with the woman. I deal with her. You run home and tell that man. Well, in verse 8, she told Manoah, her husband, and the man entreated the Lord, called on the Lord, said, "Oh, my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again." And I want to hear him myself. The man entreated the Lord. He called on the Lord. The scripture says, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Shall be saved. Oh, that our unsaved spouses would entreat the Lord. Huh? Oh, that they would entreat the Lord. Call on the Lord. If they would, the Lord save them. God heard Manoah. God heard the man. Verse 9. God hearkened to the voice of Manoah. He heard him. Will the Lord hear a sinner? He sure will. Everyone that calls upon him in truth, the Lord will, in sincerity and in truth, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. A sister was visiting with us one time recently, talking to us about her husband. She sat in these services and heard the gospel and said she would hear him out in the garage wailing, she said. Wailing, crying unto the Lord to have mercy on a sinner. I believe he did. I know he did. The Lord save a sinner that asked for mercy, every single one. Said she heard him all the time wailing. And I remember him saying, well, you reckon the Lord would have mercy on a sinner like me? The Lord did. The Lord took him shortly thereafter. The Lord hearkened to the voice of Manoah. The angel of the Lord came again to the woman. Came to the woman. I hope you don't take this for granted, ladies. I hope you don't take this for granted. He keeps coming back to you. I hope you don't. This is too precious. It's too rare, too valuable. It can be taken away awful easily, can't it? The Lord came back to the woman again as she sat in the field. Manoah, her husband, was not with her. And what did the woman do? She ran back home to tell her husband. What'd she tell him? What did he tell her? Same exact thing as he told her the first time. And people, I don't have anything new to say to you tonight. Some of you heard this message 3 or 4 times from me, let alone other men. And I don't have anything new to tell you. But the right to say the same things to you is not grievous to me. This is what rejoices my heart. I say with Manoah, would you send the man again? Tell me the same things. I want to hear the same exact gospel message. Tell me the same thing. You know, the Lord came to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he cast out 7 devils. And then our Lord was crucified and arose. And you know who he appeared to first, don't you? Mary Magdalene. What did Mary Magdalene do? She ran home and told her disciples, come, he's here, he's back. And they believed not. Believe not. As I said, God hath chosen weak things. You know, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. I'm just a man. I'm a weak man. I'm a sinner. No better than you. No stronger than you. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. But the excellency of the power is of God, not of man. Well, Manoah arose, verse 11. He arose and went after his wife. Can a man follow a woman? If she's following Christ, he should. He needs to listen to her. He needs to listen to her. Manoah, the man, had a godly wife. He had a believing wife. He sure needed to follow her, didn't he? She was a strong believer. We're going to see in a minute. So Manoah arose and went after his wife, followed his wife, and came to the Lord himself and said, art thou the man that spakest unto the woman? He said, I am. I am that I am. Like our Lord said to the woman at the well, when she said, when Messiah has come, he'll tell us all things. And our Lord said, I that speaketh unto thee am. Dropped her water pot. Are you the man? The angel of the Lord just repeated, the Lord himself repeated back to Manoah all that he said. Verse 12, Manoah said, let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child? How shall we do unto him? And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. She may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, either let her drink wine or strong drink, nor eat anything any unclean thing. All that I command her, let her observe. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee. Stay with us. Tarry with us till we've made ready a kid for thee. He's talking about fixing him supper. He said, would you stay and eat with us? We'll kill a kid and you eat with us. And the verse 16, the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. And if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, what is thy name, that when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor? The angel of the Lord said unto him, why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret? Does this sound familiar? Jacob, the angel of the Lord, Christ, came to Jacob and wrestled with him one night. And Jacob asked him his name. He said, why are you asking my name? What's your name? This is the Lord. See, my name is secret. My name is wonderful. So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering and did as the Lord told him. Offer it unto the Lord. And there was a rock there. There was a rock there, and he offered it upon a rock unto the Lord. A kid, a rock, a lamb, a rock. He slit that lamb's throat and poured out that blood, offered that lamb's burnt body as a burnt offering unto the Lord. And it says the angel of the Lord did wondrously, and Manoah and his wife looked on. And what they saw was when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, the angel of the Lord entered into that flame of the altar, and Manoah and his wife looked on. They're gazing at them. Salvation's in a look. Salvation's in a look. Back in Numbers 21, when the people were bitten with fiery serpents, and they were dying. And the Lord told Manoah, you fashion a serpent of brass like unto the serpent that bit the people. And the serpents were sent by God because of their sin. And they were dying because of their sin, rebellion against God from this serpent bite. And this is a picture of sin, of Satan and sin, and how our sin against God was going to kill us unless we have a substitute. All right, the people were bitten by these fiery serpents. And the Lord told Moses to fashion a serpent like unto the serpent that bit them, like the sin. A serpent of brass, and hold it up on a pole. And the Lord said, everyone that's bitten, when he looketh, shall live. Just look, and you'll live. Everyone that's bitten. Our Lord said, look unto me, and be ye saved. All the ends of the earth. Everyone, if you're bitten, look unto me, and all the ends of the earth, and be ye saved, for I am God. There is none else. There is no Savior. Look. Looking unto Jesus, Hebrews 12:2 said, the author and finisher of our faith. Scripture says he was made sin for us who knew no sin. The sin that bit us, the sin that will kill us, God made Christ to be sin and put him on Calvary's tree and hung him up. And there's life for a look. Just look. I have a message from the Lord. Hallelujah. A message unto you I give. It's recorded in His Word. Hallelujah. It's only that you look and live. Look and live. My brother, live. Look to Jesus Christ right now and live. It's recorded in His Word. Hallelujah. It's only that you look and live. I have a hard time doing. But thank God He said, hallelujah, He said, look, I can do that. I can do that. Look, not do, look. Because it's done. What does it mean to look? Manoah and his wife looked on. They looked on. To look means to have a need. Like a beggar. Blind Bartimaeus was blind. But he was looking. But he was blind. He couldn't see anything. But he heard Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. He didn't know where he was. But he was looking. And he cried. It's to look as a beggar for need. It's to look with desire. With longing. Like the woman. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. It's to look with total dependence. Like a dog looks to its master. You ever thought of how dependent a dog is? Huh? A dog would die without you. A dog depends on you for its food, for its water, for its freedom, for its direction, for its safety, for its protection. A dog depends on you. Dog doesn't protect you. You protect it from killing itself. Like a dog looks to its master. That's what it means to look. Look unto me, the Lord said. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. Well, they looked on. And the angel of the Lord, and they fell on their faces to the ground. The angel of the Lord, verse 21, did no more appear to Manoah and his wife. Like our Lord Jesus Christ, he went back to glory. He'd been gone a long time now, hadn't he? But he said all that needed to be said, didn't he? He did all that needed to be done, didn't he? Huh? Anything more need to be done? Did the angel need to tell these two anything more? Did they need to see anything new? No. They saw all they needed to see. They saw the burnt offering. They saw the Lord accept it. They heard His voice. Nothing more needs to be said. Neither do we need anything else. But Manoah, bless his heart, I like that. Manoah knew that it was the angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto his wife, we're going to die. We shall surely die. Because we've seen God. We've seen God. Once again, this is what Jacob said there in Genesis 32. After Jacob wrestled with the Lord wrestled with Jacob. After that meeting, the Lord left. Jacob said, I've seen God, and my life is preserved. I'm living. I'm still living. Must be hope for me. Gideon. Gideon. The Lord came to Gideon. And Gideon said, alas, I've seen God. And the Lord said unto him, fear not. Peace. You won't die. This is the same Lord, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. But I tell you what, everyone that really sees the Lord is going to do what Noah did. And his wife is going to fall on her faces. Everyone that really meets the God of the Bible and the Lord Jesus Christ, everyone that really meets the Lord Jesus Christ is going to fear Him and is going to think He's going to kill me. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And if someone doesn't say that, if someone is really... People, until a person sees God, the living and true God, holy, just, will by no means clear the guilty, and Christ, our God, who's a consuming fire, and the sovereign Christ, until they see Him, until they really hear His voice, they're going to sit and hear, and they're not going to hear a thing. And they're going to be unmoved and unshaken and unworried and unbelieving. They're going to go out this door saying, "Good sermon, preacher." I know it's so, because it's some that here sit time and again, that's all, it's a good sermon, preacher, and go home just as lost as they did before. But if a person ever really meets the God of the Bible, ever really meets the Lord Jesus Christ, if they ever really hear His voice and understand, the reason Manoah said God's going to kill us, because Manoah knew he was a sinner, just like the rest of the Israelites. He's a sinner. Manoah wasn't better than anybody else. He's an Israelite. He sinned against God. And he thought, "I'm a sinner. I deserve to die. I've seen God. He's going to kill me now." And anybody who really seen the God of the Bible, this is the first thing, the conclusion they come to. "I don't deserve to live. God's going to send me to hell." That's why that was Hooker's family that was moaning and groaning. "He's going to kill this old sinner." I got good news for you. Everybody thinks that. There ain't no way God's going to kill you. No way. Now, those that presume, those that don't fear, those that no fear of God before their eyes, He just might kill you. He just might. The gospel message. The Lord used this woman to tell this man the truth, to preach the gospel as good a gospel message as anybody could ever hear. This woman. I started to entitle this "The Gospel Preached by a Woman." This is one of the greatest messages ever preached. One of the shortest in all the Bible. Here's what she concluded. Here's what she told her husband, who feared that the Lord was going to kill them both. "We've seen God, because, and we're going to die." But she said unto him, verse 23, his wife said unto him, "If the Lord were pleased to kill us, send us to hell, He would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering in our hands." If the Lord were pleased to kill us, if the Lord God, who's a consuming fire, were pleased to kill us, He would not have sent His only Son to this earth to be a sin offering, a sacrifice, and a lamb slain for sinners who call upon Him for mercy. He would not have sent His Son to suffer the fiery wrath of hell for whosoever that believeth. He wouldn't have done that. And whosoever believeth, the Scripture says, is accepted. Accepted in the Beloved. The fire fell on that sacrifice, that kid. And the Lord accepted that. How that Manoah and his wife knew that the Lord accepted that burnt offering was, the angel got in it and ascended up to glory. The fire didn't fall on them. It fell on the sacrifice, and the angel went up into it. And the fire of hell fell on the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's tree. And if you look to Him, if you believe Him and trust Him, God's not going to kill you. He killed His Son. "He that spared not His own Son, how shall He not with Him freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect?" It's God that justifies. Who is He that condemneth? Christ that died. Christ died. And though we're sinners, and though God is a consuming fire, God accepted Christ's sacrifice on behalf of every single sinner that just looks. Every single sinner that says, "I sure hope He did that for me. Hope He won't kill me. I got good news for you. There ain't no way He's going to kill you. No way He's going to cast you out." Then she said, "If God were pleased to kill us, He would not have received the burnt offering." Christ wouldn't have come to be made a burnt offering, sin offering, made sin for us, God wouldn't have accepted his sacrifice on behalf of sinners if God were pleased to kill it. Neither would he have showed us all these things. What things have we seen? Are you kidding me? People, do you know that most people don't have a clue what Noah's Ark is? Most people don't have a clue what the woman's seed is. Most people don't have a clue, do they, about the smitten rock. Most people don't have a clue. The book of Ruth, and on it goes. Most people don't have a clue about the things in the, of Scripture. But what has the Lord shown us? Huh? And our children. We could ask, I could preach a message from Emma's notes. I could preach a message. Her notes are so meticulous. It takes meticulous notes of all my messages. These kids are learning the gospel. The Lord is showing us wonderful things from a child. Scriptures are able to make us wise unto salvation. Oh, what all the Lord has showed us, huh? He showed us Himself. Most people don't know, have a clue about God. They think God's like a man, man's a God. How blind can you be? What has God shown us? He's shown us Himself. God, holy, sovereign. Most people think you let God be God. Are you kidding? How blind can you be? What has God showed us? It's the first thing God has showed us. That. Oh, how He shown us. How many messages have we heard? Glorious messages. Wonderful messages of our sovereign God reigning and ruling. Rejoicing our heart. Giving us peace. Giving us comfort. How many messages? And most people don't have a clue. That's the reason there's no fear of God before their eyes. God has shown us all these things. Shown us Himself. He's shown us ourselves. Most people think that there's something they can do to earn heaven. You know that? Most people think it's their faith that's going to get them to heaven. Oh, what all God has shown us. Shown us ourselves, how we're sinful, barren, hopeless, helpless, chosen, redeemed, preserved. Oh, God has shown us the Lamb. You ask the average person their hope of heaven, and it will begin with, ah. Every time. Ah. But ask every single redeemed, every single one that God has shown Christ and Him crucified, and they'll all give you the same answer. It's the blood. It's the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. Why will God pass over you in mercy and not wrath? Why will He pass over you? Because He sees the blood. You can ask our children that. We teach them that from a child. Oh, what all God has shown us. The Lamb. Shown us His Word. The truth. Shown us His glory. No, God's not going to kill us. He wouldn't have showed us all these things. Nor, and she concludes, a 3-point message. Nor would He, as at this time, told us such things as these. He wouldn't have told. God, who cannot lie, has promised. She said, He wouldn't have promised. Husband, He wouldn't have promised us that we're going to have a child if He's going to kill us. Why'd He come tell us He's going to give us life if He's going to kill us? Huh? And didn't our Lord Jesus Christ say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. He that believeth on the Son hath life. He said, I give unto them all that the Father giveth me shall come unto me. And him that cometh unto me, I would no wise cast out. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. He wouldn't have said that if he didn't mean it. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I would have told you. I promise you. I promise you. There's life in the Son. Whosoever believeth on me is saved. Promise after promise after promise. Look. Believe. Promise of mercy. Promise of grace. Promise of peace. Promise of pardon. Promise of forgiveness. Promise of access to the Father. Boldness to enter in. By faith. The Lord can't lie. He wouldn't have told us this. He can't lie. He doesn't give false hope. Doesn't give false hope. You can depend on him. You can believe him. You can take him at his word. He's not going to kill us. Well, right after she preached that message, she had a baby. She could see. Oh, would that God would do that. Go home and tell your husband, okay? And maybe he'll start wailing. Maybe he'll start wailing. He needs to hear this. He needs to hear this. Maybe the Lord calls someone in here to hear it tonight. I pray it so. Stand with me. Our Lord, how we thank you for your blessed word. Thank you for the gospel of our salvation. Thank you for Christ and him crucified. Thank you for sending him to be made sin for us. Thank you for laying on him the iniquity of us all. Thank you. We're lifting him high up on Calvary's tree that whosoever believeth on him would not perish but have eternal life. Thank you for the blessed promises. Promise after promise after promise. Oh Lord, enable us to take you at your word. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. You're dismissed.